Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Wisdom Chat. And my guest today is Kath. How do I pronounce your surname?
It's Wohlers.
Wohlers, right. And you're the liaison manager with the illegal money lending team in England, aren't you?
I certainly am.
Great. Well, Kath, thank you so much for giving us your time today. I know what we're going to talk about is a really important subject anyway, and one that I'm as much keen as, and I know you are and others, to raise awareness around this area. And more so probably today because of the present sort of cost of living crisis, in a sense, the pressures it brings on people to somehow increase their income or find monies from a source. And if they can't go to the standard high street sources, where else do they turn? And unfortunately, many are turning to sources that seemingly look okay to them, but then turn out not to be. Kath, just tell us a little bit about your role, but also, what you're seeing happening as part of the illegal money lending team.
Certainly. So I am, as you quite rightly say, liaison manager with the team. I've got a team of 20 staff all over the country, and we do the non-investigation side of the work of the illegal money lending team. So the team as a whole looks to prosecute loan sharks. That's our remit. My bit of the team, if you like, we do the victim support and witness support. We look after people, basically. We also do a lot of awareness raising, a lot of research to see why people are going to loan sharks, to see what we can learn, but also a big kind of prevent agenda, trying to stop people ending up down that road in the first place. Yeah. And in terms of what we're seeing at the moment, it's a weird one because we know it takes people on average nearly 3 years to report a lender. So actually, any borrowing that's taking place at the moment, the danger is we won't see it for 18 months, 2 years' time. But we are aware that, for instance, victims that we've supported in the first half of 2022, for the first time, they've told us they've borrowed for food and fuel.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's always historically been the case that everyday living expenses has been the reason that most people borrow from loan sharks. But that's tended to be kind of one-off expenses like car tires or school uniform or birthday presents or something like that. Whereas now it is literally food on the table and fuel in the prepayment meter.
Right. Yeah. We're hearing a lot about, because of the rising cost of living, people even using all sorts of forms of credit to pay for the regular things like your food, your energy, clothing, things like this. So we know that it's kind of a huge issue. But when it comes to individuals looking for sources of income, my understanding, and I know you mentioned this the other day, the different places where this comes from, often it's people we know, isn't it?
Absolutely. So 2/3 of the people we supported last year, they genuinely believed at the point at which they took out the loan that the loan shark was their friend. You know, it was very much about, you know, someone who's overheard a conversation and said, oh, isn't it terrible when kids are young and they grow up so fast and they're always in and out of shoes. I know what that's like. I tell you what, I've got a bit of extra cash. I'll lend you £100. You just give it me back when you can. So it's not even that people have been turned down for a loan elsewhere. They haven't actually looked elsewhere because the loan shark's been on hand when needed and has offered that seemingly at the time helping hand. And that's part of the reason I think it takes people so long to report a lot of the time, that they've got to realise, first of all, that this person isn't their friend after all, that they are a nefarious criminal who is out for their own benefit and nothing else.
Yeah. Do you think these people actually set out this way? They see an opportunity, probably more so today, and want to take advantage. I mean, what kind of things are they looking for that gives them that advantage?
I think the big thing, I think the way that loan sharks grow their business is like any other business. They start small and they build up. So, you know, quite often lenders we know will lend money to 10 people to start with. And then when they start getting a return on that, they'll expand it to 15 and it grows that way. We do know some loan sharks will launder money from other criminality through illegal lending. So maybe from drugs money or other organized crime money as well. And in terms of what they look for, I think it's any vulnerability, and that could be a financial vulnerability. It could be maybe someone who believes they wouldn't get credit from elsewhere or who thinks it's not for the likes of me. It could just be someone who's desperate at that moment in time. Or it could be something, you know, like a disability or something else that they think makes this individual particularly vulnerable. But actually, loan sharks don't care who they lend to, because the thing that they will do is lend you the money and then make sure they are your priority debt. So whereas if you're a credit union or a high street lender or anybody else, if you're lending money, you have to make sure that person can afford to repay it. That's a big criteria. Loan sharks don't care, because they'll say, yeah, absolutely, I'll lend you a grand. You pay me back £100 a month. And if you don't pay your rent or your mortgage or your council tax as a result, I don't care, because I'm not an ethical lender. I'm not abiding by the rules. I'm not authorised. So as long as I can make sure that I get my money back, I don't care what situation that leaves you in.
Yeah. And also the ways in which they ensure they get their money back is quite, well, it's heartbreaking, really, when you hear the stories.
Yeah, and I think, you know, loan sharks have massive impact on people's lives. And, you know, there's the two big ones are the financial impact of, like I say, you know, pay me, don't pay everything else. And because they demand extortionate amounts of money back, it leaves people with nothing for anything else. So they may end up in an awful lot of legitimate credit, trying to buy their way out of the loan shark. But also, you know, numerous victims have told us over the years that they've lived off cornflakes for the month. Because that's all they could afford, like those sorts of stories. But I think the impact they have as well is it's on people's mental health. You know, they isolate people, they cut them off from their family, their friends. They make them feel like somehow they deserve this thing that's happening to them. You know, we get people saying, well, I took out the money, I took the loan. You know, it's my fault, I did it, you know. Whereas if you were burgled, you would never think you were to blame for that, because that's a criminal act that has been done to you. Well, this is the same. It's a criminal act that's done to you. But loan sharks are so clever and manipulative, and they use kind of coercive control mechanisms to make sure that people believe somehow they're culpable for this. And I think as well, you know, we do see loan sharks who will threaten people with violence or threaten them, you know, with really high-end stuff. But the vast majority of loan sharks, it's much subtler than that. It's what I could do if I wanted to. It's, you know, things like turning up outside someone's house and a couple of years ago now, because we don't really have them anymore, but cutting the internet cables to their house or cutting the phone cables to their house so they can't call out. You know, one guy I remember turned up at school and picked up this lady's two teenage daughters because she'd said, I've paid you enough now. And he walked them home, nice as pie to them, but she's washing up and she looks out the window and her two teenage daughters are stood at the end of the drive with this loan shark, who was an ex-boxing champion, you know, and she carried on paying him for the next 3 years, as she would. Didn't say anything to the kids, didn't say anything to her, didn't have to. It was an implication, I can get to you if I want to. And that's the way they tend to work. You know, there'll be a big thing about, you won't know when I'm coming for you. Mm. And how chilling's that? It's not, I'm coming on Friday at 2, and you can worry about Friday at 2, it's you won't know when I'm coming for you. And every knock on the door, every text message to your phone, every person who you think might be following you down the street, you think it's a loan shark. And that's how it has such an impact, and that's how it wears people down.
That must be harrowing for some people. And what's interesting is I've talked with people. I remember I used to work with a local church and a church, and we had like a kids club. Telling you this about this the other day, but I used to go and visit with colleagues, families on a particular estate where we were working, and I happened to notice on a regular basis a vehicle just slowly moving around the estate with blackened windows. And I happened to say to somebody one day, you know, who is that person? And they said, oh yeah, that's the money lender. That they're coming to collect, don't have anything to do with them. And it's interesting, when I talk with different people, it's their understanding of what they think these type of people are. So they think the description I've just told you, and possibly other things. So in society, it might be somebody you think, well, they look dodgy, they don't look the part. But actually, the loan sharks, and not necessarily like that, are they? And sometimes a bit closer to home.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, so 1 in 5, I think, of the people we arrested last year were female, which always surprises people.
Wow.
Because people have the image of Phil Mitchell, don't they? You know, with a baseball bat and some heavies behind him kind of thing as the loan shark. But, you know, we've arrested people in the 70s in the past. you know, maybe who were a legitimate, worked for a legitimate lender, but then retired, but carried on lending out their own pockets on the side. You know, loan sharks comes in many forms. We've arrested nurses who were lending to other nurses in hospitals, and, you know, people who you'd think were very respectable and very reasonable, but they're not. You know, they have this sort of shady side to their character. And I think that's part of the problem. It's not that easy to spot. So, you know, hence the vast majority of people think they're borrowing from a friend. You know, I think there are some people who will go out looking for a loan shark because that's what they think they can get. So we do see it sometimes on like Gumtree or Craigslist or something online, where people say, "I'm looking for a loan shark in Liverpool or Sunderland or somewhere." And that's really terrifying to me, that you think that's an sort of almost legitimate source of credit for yourself. That's your only option. But the vast majority of people are caught because they think it's their friend, and they think it's someone who's harmless in some way. You know, they're very charismatic people quite often until you cross them. So I think that's part of the problem as well, how people think, "I got myself into this, I got duped." But actually, that's because it's a con man trick. It's someone who gains your confidence in that way, and someone who pretends to be helping you out when you're vulnerable.
Yeah. Do you think there's a lot to do with sort of education around money and sort of lending or borrowing? I know for one, you know, we're told there's financial education in schools, but actually most of us will actually recognise, well, that's not really the case. And we're seeing our next generations leaving education with very little in the way of life skills in terms of how to appropriately handle money. And then, you know, simple things like, you know, somebody once said to me, "Oh, I don't do budgeting because it doesn't suit me." You know, we're not talking a fashion item here, but it just really highlights to you perhaps people's mindsets and understanding of things because they've not been educated. Yeah. So would you say that's part of it? Yeah, but definitely. What else do you see in this as well?
I think that's absolutely part of it. I mean, we've actually developed education packs which were free for schools to use around money.
Wow.
We actually we paid for it through Proceeds of Crime. We've taken off loan sharks. So it's literally loan sharks paying for people not to use loan sharks in the future, which is quite nice. But when we went in as part of that project, you know, we only went to sort of primary school age, but you ask 8-9-year-olds, where does money come from? And the answers we got, you know, some one girl said, "Oh, we buy it from the supermarket when we buy our shopping," because they'd obviously seen mum getting cash back when she went to Morrison's or whatever. So that's where she thought money came from. No idea that it came out of a bank account and that they had to go into the bank account in the first place to come out again. And asking them as well about the value of things, you know, what does it cost to have a big telly? What does it cost to have an Xbox? What does it cost to go to dancing lessons? And they didn't have a clue. The guesses were so far off the mark. And I think that almost has an impact as well in terms of not recognizing the value of things, stuff like Christmas, of what are you asking for at Christmas? But I think as we get older as well, I think that there is a big piece around education. And I think as well, sometimes around sort of transparency of things, you know, let's make it as easy as possible for people to know what's the best deal for them. You know, let's have free financial advice. Let's have free money advice. Not only for when you get in debt, but before that, so that, you know, you can work out what you are doing with your money. And is it the right time for a mortgage or is it not yet? And, you know, should I bother paying a pension? I'm only 24, or shall I not yet? I think all those sorts of things, there is such a danger that people kind of kick it into the long grass and think, I'll deal with that when I'm older.
Yeah.
And actually, sometimes those first decisions can be the ones that set you up or don't, as the case may be.
Yeah, I must admit, I can identify with that. I can think back to, you know, leaving school, starting employment, eventually somebody talking to me about a company pension scheme and so on. And to me, it all seemed so far in the distance. You know, why do I need to bother about those things now? So I never really took it seriously. And to be honest, I never had any like financial sort of education that would actually help me understand that whatever I do now is going to reflect on the future. So now if somebody were to ask me, what would you say to a younger self? It would be all those things you just talked about even though it's way off in the future, you do really need to consider it now. Let me show you how to do it, you know, and that would have been absolutely fantastic if there'd been somebody around to do that side and really to then talk me through some of the things I need to look for, things I need to avoid, and my understanding of the whole process. I think you're right. What you said earlier about the fact that somebody's actually searching for a loan shark in a particular area, you know, I think it is frightening because of the way that people conduct themselves when they are being that loan shark, and the advantage that they hold over people. And people don't realise they've become vulnerable and susceptible. And I've heard so many stories of people being, even though they may have paid off whatever they borrowed 100 times over, they're still being held to pay more and more and more. So therefore, they can never get out of it. And
so, yeah. I think that's the thing as well. It's about making the right decision, isn't it, sometimes? So one of the things in our school packs for very young kids, it's a cartoon, and it's about a penguin, and his fishing rod snaps, and so he has to try and buy a new fishing rod. And the bank turns him down, so he ends up with a friendly shark who lends him the money to buy a fishing rod. And the deal is he's gonna feed the fish to the shark as he catches them, but he can't catch enough fish. And the shark keeps coming back for more, and he turns up at the penguin's igloo, and he steals his hat. We didn't want to get too scary, but he steals his hat. And he goes off, and Penguin's exhausted, and he's stressed, and he can't catch enough fish for this shark. And then eventually a Trading Standards polar bear comes along and arrests the shark, and all the penguins join together and form a credit union. And it's all sorts of themes around, you know, borrowing and saving and community and what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, greed and so on. But actually, you know, even for fairly young kids, why would someone pretend to be your friend when they're not? Isn't a bad lesson to learn in life, is it? You know, whether it's a loan shark or financial abuse, you know, trafficking, modern day slavery, all sorts of those things. Someone who pretends to be your friend but isn't. It's a horrible lesson as well to have to teach anybody. But I think it does kind of cross over into different aspects of life as well. And you're right about the thing that you don't get to pay a loan shark off. You know, we've dealt with people who've borrowed less than £1,000 and pay back tens of thousands over years because they just keep coming back for more. They just, you know, if you miss a payment, they'll double what you owe. So you pay, miss one payment, you double what you owe, you know, or there'll be enough random charges added, or they just went, well, just say, no, you still owe me. I'm not justifying it, you still owe me. I lent you money when no one else would, you still owe me. Or they'll put you in such a bad financial position that every 6 months you have to borrow from them because you've got nowhere else to go for money. So they very much trap people in a cycle of debt, and that's one of the big issues.
And they make it out very much that they're helping you, and you know full well they're not. So for example, if somebody listening to this podcast thinks that they might have actually got involved with a loan shark, What would you say to them? What would you encourage them to consider and act upon?
So the first thing is to work out if you have or not, basically. So if you think you've borrowed from a friend, the questions I would ask are, does that friend lend lots of people money? And are they charging you interest? And if the answer to both those questions is yes, it might be a loan shark. The next step would be to check the FCA register, because the criminal offence loan sharks commit is they're unregistered, they're unauthorised lenders. So if you want to lend money as a business, you've got to be authorised with the FCA. They've got a public register you can check. If that person's not on there and they are lending to more people than you and they're charging you interest, this could well be a loan shark. So give us a ring. And I understand completely that the idea of reporting a loan shark is a really scary thing to do, but we're not just an enforcement agency. We offer support to people. You can talk to us anonymously. You can talk to us in confidence. We will just talk you through your options, and then you can make a decision as to whether you want to report or not. And there's no pressure from us whatsoever. We have seen it a million times, which is really sad as well. But you won't shock us, and we know what we're talking about. We're good at keeping people safe. But I just think having that first conversation, that's the thing to do. Even if it's not with us, have it with your partner, with a friend, with a debt advice agency. But have that first conversation. Don't let them isolate you, because that's part of their power.
Yeah, and people need to be aware that, you know, we can all find ourselves making mistakes or making the wrong choices. And the one thing that we need to do is be kind to ourselves. Don't beat ourselves up because we've done that. Don't say, oh, how foolish I am, and what will people think of me? Don't go down that route, because at the end of the day, that's a barrier for you reaching out and asking for help. And know whether they're asking yourself or anybody else, like the debt advice agencies as well, know full well that they won't be judged and condemned in any way.
I think as well, flip that on the head. It's not I'm foolish, I'm in this situation. It's they're bad. They're breaking the law. They're greedy. They're exploiting me and other people. So if you're not coming forward for yourself, if you know they're lending to other people, even if you think you can handle it, what about the other people? Can they handle it? So sometimes it just takes that first person to be brave enough to say, this person is a loan shark. And it may be that we don't need that person to give a statement. It may be we can get evidence from elsewhere. But if we don't know what we're looking for, then we're fishing in the dark, to coin a phrase. So it is just about having that first conversation sometimes.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And that's great advice and great help as well. For anybody listening to the podcast, the FCA is a financial conduct authority, and the Financial Services Register, you can simply Google it or go on to the Financial Conduct Authority's website and actually search within the website, and it will give you the register, and it will tell you who's registered, who they're authorised, and what they're authorised to do. So I'm assuming, Kath, that, you know, people who can't find the name of a person they're dealing with who's loaned them some money in that register, then that has to be a starting point for, you know, warning signs to say you need to report this. And also, I know for some people, they may feel for themselves afraid, frightened. They're fearful because we know that some have been violent and done all sorts of things. But as an organisation, as a body yourselves, you'll even deal with that part, won't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So going back to the FCA register as well, if you can't navigate it, because it's not the easiest thing in the world to get around.
No.
If you give us a ring, we don't mind looking it up for you with you. That's not a problem either. So if anyone's just like that I don't understand, that's fine. Give us a bell and we will help you do that. That's not a problem at all. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, it can be a very scary thing to do, but we do a risk assessment and a needs assessment of every single person we support. And that looks at them as an individual. So we look at the loan shark, the impact they have. We'll look at their health, their housing needs, their financial situation. You know, is there a CCJ coming or an eviction notice coming because they've been paying the loan shark? What can we do to help that? We'll look at the whole thing. And if they don't want a lot of contact from us, that's fine. If someone needs a phone call every day to start with to say, are you okay? We'll do that as well. And I'd say, you know, I've been doing this job for 14 years and we've not had anything bad happen to anybody who has reported a loan shark. Bad things happen when people don't report loan sharks.
Yeah.
When they do. You know, the worst repercussions we've ever had was a lady in Yorkshire, and she saw the loan shark after he'd been arrested, and he shouted at her across the road. And she reported that to us, and he was remanded into custody because part of his bail conditions were you don't talk to your victims, you don't talk to your borrowers. And that's the worst that's happened. Not very pleasant for her, but it was a bit of verbal across the street. She'd had worse in the past. Yeah. And we've never had any kind of physical repercussions or anything happen. You know, we're good at what we do. If we think a prosecution or an arrest is going to put you in jeopardy, we won't do it.
Yeah. No, that's great to know. And the other thing I was going to ask you, Kath, is, obviously these experiences for some people can be quite traumatic, and if that's really affected them and they need that sort of ongoing support, is that something that you provide, or do you work with others to help support those individuals?
So kind of a bit of both. If it's the listening ear and information on what happens next and that sort of support, we do that in-house, that's fine. My team, I've got ex sort of safeguarding professionals, counsellors, debt advisors, housing officers. We're not enforcement staff at all. But we have also referred externally to counselling and things like victim support too.
Yeah. Right. Well, thank you so much, Kath. I'm just conscious that time's passed us by. But if I can just say this one thing, correct me if I'm wrong in saying this. The assumption can be sometimes that it's people who are at the lower income end or on benefits that are mainly the victims of this. But actually, anybody could, couldn't they?
Absolutely. You know, anyone could be a loan shark, but also anyone could be a victim. You know, I've supported people who've earned over £50,000, but have been cash poor for, you know, had a cash flow business or something, a cash flow problem, sorry, or something like that. You know, we've supported people who when you looked at them, they're much more like the Phil Mitchell caricature I described before, but have been victims of loan shark, just as likely to be men as women. And we've supported people between the ages of 18 and 82. You know, it can literally happen to anybody. And like I say, there is no shame in it. It's no different from being the victim of any other crime. You know, someone else is the bad guy here, not you.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I think it's very much akin to, as well, things like fraud and scams that people, you know, have been on the increase now, and people can easily be subjected to. And people, even like ourselves, who know what we're about, you know, can find ourselves accidentally, you know, connecting with something that actually is a scam. Yeah. And we've not realised. So anybody listening to this podcast, just be encouraged and don't have a downer on yourself in a sense. But if you need to, reach out and ask for help. And Kath, I was going to ask you, as people do, where are they going to reach out to? How would they get hold of you?
So we have a website, which is stoploansharks.co.uk. That has got lots of information about us, what we do, how you can report a loan shark. Latest arrests as well and things like that. And we've also run a load of community projects which are on there. So we've got murals and podcasts and all sorts of different things on there. On the website, between 9 and 5, Monday to Friday, is live chat. So we get about 10% of people now who'd rather not speak to us on the phone. They'd much rather type. So we've got live chat on the website on sort of normal working hours. But we've got a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hotline, which is 0300 555 2222. And calls are not recorded. You can ring us anonymously. We can't take note of your number. It doesn't come through to us that way. So, you know, have confidence that, you know, it's completely anonymous. And that's probably the first port of call for the majority of people.
That's fantastic. And as well, because of some of the community work you do in terms of, you know, passing on the information, doing presentations and things like that, you could do that in schools, in community groups, wherever people feel that, you know, I've got a group of people and it'd be really great to hear about the work that you're doing.
Absolutely. Part of the problem about loan sharks is people don't talk about them, and that gives them power. Yeah. Yeah. You know, so the more we can talk about them, the more we can demystify them, the more people are aware of them, the less likely they are to be successful. So it all helps. But absolutely, you know, we do training sessions, we'll come out to community meetings, we'll do it online, face to face, whatever people want. And nothing we do has a cost attached to it. We are paid for elsewhere. So there's no cost at all. It's all free of charge.
Brilliant. Kath, thank you so much for your time. Really do appreciate it. It's been very interesting listening to you. And I know this is a really huge topic, you know, even at this present time, but has been for many years. So thank you very much for giving us your time and sharing what you've shared, and all the best going forward.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure. Take care.
And you.